In the first year of the Christian calendar, 200 million humans wandered the planet Earth.
And now, from deep in the heart of Texas...
9 reasons why the Bible prohibits birth control.
It's the tough news from Radio EcoShock. The former news network, CNN, combines alarm and trivia. Two models with smiles the size of the screen announce planet Earth now has 6.5 billion people. Immediately, the camera veers away to show us a captive whale blowing bubbles that look just like smoke rings. These are glad tidings, an intelligent mammal in a concrete box, and a planet overloaded with suffering humans. Cut to Samantha Good with the latest exclusive on little Jennifer, who disappeared last night from a Kentucky shopping mall. 4 days later, the whole story disappeared from video space. A Google search could not find a single TV clip on our 6.5 billionth birthday. Back to the traditional invisibility which hides the human bloom. Paul Ehrlich, professor of population studies at Stanford.
From the point of view of the media, population is basically a no-no. Exactly why that is, I'm not clear, but I suspect it's a combination of pressure from the idiot left and the idiot right, both of which, for different reasons, wants to ignore the population problem.
We don't even have any good jokes about overpopulation.
How many humans does it take to screw in a light bulb?
One. And 4 billion more wishing they had a light bulb.
If you have any good jokes, please send them to grinningplanet.com. In his seminal 1968 book, The Population Bomb, Ehrlich predicted, quote, mankind will breed itself into oblivion, end quote. Major environmental groups know that sheer volume of humans are gobbling up nature's last reservoirs and say little to nothing. It's dangerous to talk about controlling the size of the herd. Who has a population control campaign? It's left to the fringes like dieoff.org and the Voluntary Human Extinction Movement at vhemt.org.
One of the three major driving forces of the destruction of our life support systems is simply the number of people. After all, 58 of the world's academies of sciences got out a statement in 1993 saying if we don't, and this includes Third World Academy, the Indian Academy, and so on, not just rich countries, saying if we don't do something about human numbers, we're essentially cooked. More than 1,500 of the world's leading scientists, including over half of the world's living Nobel laureates in science, signed a similar statement the same year called A World Scientist Warning to Humanity. So there's a big disconnect between what competent scientists think about this issue and what the general public knows about it.
Year 1000, population 275 million.
The world population has doubled since 1960, quadrupled since 1900. A Cornell University study titled Will Limits of the Earth's Resources Control Human Numbers? And led by David Pimentel, concluded the planet can only support 2 billion humans sustainably in a technically empowered lifestyle. 2 billion, that's the upper limit for a civilized Earth. And no, more technology cannot replace the need for a functioning biological system.
For a while was viewed in the 40s and 50s and even 60s as a cure for the population problem. The idea was we develop the entire world and then birth rates will drop and the population size will stabilize. There are about 50 things wrong with that. One is that there's no mechanism to create the stabilization and no guarantee that the birth rates would drop to a level that would balance death rates. More importantly, if the entire world developed, say, to the level of the United States, we'd need several more Earths to support it because, as you know, the United States is the great super-consuming nation. Other rich nations do the same thing. And although their birth rates are coming down, every child born in the United States or Great Britain is a much greater threat to the life support systems of the planet than a baby born, say, in Bangladesh or Amazonian Brazil, simply because kids in Bangladesh and Amazonian Brazil are very unlikely to grow up to drive Humvees and have 10,000 square foot air-conditioned homes.
Year 1500, population 450 million.
The World Health Organization estimates 3 billion people, almost half of all humans alive now, suffer from malnutrition. They eat far less than the waste food we toss in the garbage can. Millions die from famine and easily preventable childhood diseases from malnutrition and poverty. Let's welcome another 80 million new humans this year! Fact. Every year, India produces as many new humans as the entire population of Australia. In India, 70% of those billion-plus people are under the age of 36, still breeding age. In the 10 seconds it took to report this fact, 18 people died and 41 new babies were born.
1750, population 700 million.
Yet Paul and Ann Ehrlich have repeatedly warned us, the real ecological threat doesn't come from raw reproduction of villagers far away. Massive overconsumption by Western lifestyles makes each of us use more of nature than 25 or more simple peasants. There are too many wasteful rich people. Shopping, redecorating, fat with new SUVs, the species consumerensis sucks up the planet. And everyone wants to be just like us.
The problem with the environment isn't just how many people you have, it's how those people behave. And the more each individual consumes, the more damaging they are towards the environment. In a very poor country like Bangladesh, the average person has about 1/30th the impact on the environment as the average American. Therefore, when you add, say, 5 million people to the American population, that's the equivalent of adding something in the order of 150 million people to the population of Bangladesh. Therefore, the more you can control population size in the rich countries, the more impact you're going to have on the reducing the deterioration of the environment.
1800, population 1 billion.
If someday China has a car in every garage, or maybe two cars in some garages, American style, China would need more oil than the world currently produces.
La numero uno. Let's just look at Latin America, where a never-ending stream of young humans is cutting into the great rainforests, or miserably camped out in shanty towns with no services, no jobs, and no hope. It's a good place to use our wealth to help, but two idols block the door, one in the Vatican and one in the White House. Both believe fervently that family planning and contraception go against God's laws.
1900, population 1.6 billion.
And now, the Bible and birth control.
As soon as he was elected, President George the Younger cut off millions of dollars in support for the United Nations Population Fund. Diplomats were told to boycott UN meetings where reproductive health services for women were discussed. Then, he reinstated Ronald Reagan's so-called gag rule from the 1980s, forbidding any American funding for a wide variety of family planning groups, including Planned Parenthood. Apparently, education, birth control pills, and condoms are all the same as abortion.
9 reasons why the Bible prohibits birth control.
Bush supported oppressive Latin American laws with a minimum of 1 year in prison for women getting an abortion. Dangerous, illegal abortions remain one of the leading causes of death for women in that region. They die for the Pope and the American religious right.
But this battle is going to have an end. And those of us who are on the right side are going to get a big payoff. Those of us who are on the wrong side will experience the lake of fire and gnashing of the teeth.
1950, population 2.5 billion.
President Kennedy, a Catholic, hoped to stem the tide of illegal immigrants by building up living standards in Latin America. The Bush administration's budget for 2007, instead, proposes to cut aid to that region by 28.5%. Money is needed for the Middle East wars. Bush has another plan. In January, the Army Corps of Engineers awarded a $385 million contract to a Halliburton subsidiary, Kellogg, Brown & Root, to construct detention centers in the United States to deal with, quote, an emergency influx of immigrants into the U.S. or to support the rapid development of new programs. For more on that story, see the article called Bush's Mysterious New Programs by Nat Perry, February 23, 2006, posted on www.alternet.org. Surely, millions will walk north, especially driven by ecological collapse and climate change. Each successful migrant to America works hard to become another super consumer.
1960, population 3 billion.
How many humans does it take to screw in a light bulb?
We don't know. The Bible and Quran say nothing about the light bulb situation.
In 1944, as the war ended, a small group of deer were released on St. Matthew's Island in the Bering Sea. There were 24 females and 5 males. They found abundant food with no predators and were rarely hunted by men. In his much-criticized 1977 book, Garrett Hardin wrote, by 1957, the population had swelled to 1,350 reindeer. In the summer of 1963, it reached its peak of over 6,000 and then crashed during the winter when food was at its minimum. 3 years later, there were only 42 animals, all adults, and all but one, female. The future of the herd was in doubt. End quote.
1975, population 4 billion.
As they overwhelmed their island in space, they destroyed all the lichens on which reindeer depend.
1990, population 5.3 billion.
We don't know what they really believed as they stripped their resources. Their beliefs were irrelevant to biological reality.
How many humans does it take to screw in a light bulb?
None. Humans lived without light bulbs for thousands of years. We moved by the moon and the starlight or slept by night. On October 18th, 2012, at 4:36 in the afternoon, there will be 7 billion humans. Just 6 years from now, half a billion more mouths wanting everything, just like us. We can start by talking about the way overpopulation threatens us and the natural world. No coming election is complete without that debate, and candidates willing to act in the name of sanity. You have a personal broadcasting system in your computer, your printer, or your photocopier. You are an intelligent human being. If we wait for the great leaders, all apparently living thousands of years in the past, all living things will be trampled in a wave of arms and legs
in the big crush.
Paul Ehrlich quotes came from Deep Ecology 5 at newdimensions.org and an interview by Julian Darley at globalpublicmedia.com. From the plundered planet, this is Alex Smith of Radio EcoShock. Click on, tune in, find out at www.ecoshock.org. Full-time environmental radio, free.
Population 10 billion.